now, get me Nick Katzen back.
Thank you.
What else I've heard of?
He's coming to the phone, sir, one moment.
Nick, yes, Mr. President. Have I ever asked you or suggested to you that you tap a line?
No, Mr. President, never have.
Don't you have to authorize everyone to be tapped?
I authorize everyone that the FBI taps, Mr. President. I do not authorize taps if they're made by other agencies.
Oh,
I think it'd be a good idea if I did.
All right.
It's something I wanted to talk to you about sometime, but I want to talk to Bob McNamara first.
All right, who else taps them?
Defense taps them. IRS occasionally taps.
Well, I want them brought to an irreducible minimum and only in the gravest cases, and I want you to authorize them, and then by God, I won't know about them. I'm against wiretapping, period. And I think you ought to get you up the strongest letter you can to them and say that none of them to be tapped except with the signature of the Attorney General.
To the other agencies?
Yep. For me to sign.
All right.
Now, say you didn't ask this authority. Just say the president called you, and you get it done. And what when they ask you to explain it or something,
all
you
right.
Just say the president just called you at 6:24 and said this. Now then, that's number one. I don't know of a human's wire that has been tapped or ever been tapped. I assume that in one of our friends' cases, from what I have seen, that that must be where the evidence comes from. On our wire jaunts and some of those things, California and with some of the women and that kind of stuff involved. You know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
Now, that's the only thing that's indicated to me. Nobody's ever told me that's where it comes from, and I don't want to know.
Right.
But Joe Alsop's having a change of life.
Yeah.
And I've gone through a change of life with three or four of my friends. He's just short of this asylum now. He's had two or three breakdowns, but he's going around all over town saying we got his wire tapped. And that doesn't amount to much because most people know he's crazy.
Yeah.
But I like him, and I'm his friend, and I saved him from McCarthy when McCarthy had a hold of this other stuff back there on
yeah.
Joe. But today, when was today? Get on the phone over here. Saturday. This Bill Moyer.
Yeah.
Saturday, this happened. I let Bill tell you.
Scotty Reston called me.
Make some notes on this now, Nick.
I am, Mr. President. Scotty Reston called me and said that he would like to come see me in a matter of, he considered, great importance. He brought with him Joe Alsop. Joe really carried the brunt.
He didn't tell you he was bringing Joe?
No. Joe Alsop carried the weight of the conversation. And his whole point was that there is going on within the government gross intimidation because of news leaks. He said that a number of officials whom he could name if he felt free to do so had been intimidated over the possibility of their leaking. That they had was now a completely closed shop. People would not go to lunch with him. That he could not see people whom he used to discuss analytical problems with instead of just facts. And furthermore, that he had conclusive evidence that his line was being tapped. At that point, I challenged him. He backed up. He didn't back up. He charged again and said, I know that it's being tapped. I know that it's being tapped. He then alluded to a subject he'd alluded to before, namely that certain people were using against him the contents of a scurrilously collected data of information about his own personal life. And that that those contents were being made known to different people around town, and that we ought to have better sense than not to know that this information had been charged by people who didn't know what they were talking about, and that the use of such material, even if it were accurate, was a gross violation of propriety and decency. But then he came back to the wiretapping charge and stated that he knew beyond any doubt that, of course, his lines were being tapped. Charge which I categorically, vehemently, and vigorously rejected. And Scotty Reston then said, well, and let me say that Reston was somewhat humiliated at the whole conversation, but nonetheless request the session and then carry on part of the conversation. He said that he had been approached at the Gridiron Club by an official at the Pentagon who told him, Scotty, I think you should know that your son, Dick Reston, is being shadowed by the FBI because of information that he obtained from a confidential source at the Pentagon concerning some comptroller's report on the use of foreign aid funds in Thailand. And this shadowing by the FBI had been ordered as a result of the president's desire to crack down on sources and leaks within the government. Both of the men then jointly concluded by saying that this kind of thing is going to be disastrous to the administration and to the president, and it should be called to a halt immediately. And Alsop, not Reston, but Alsop, said that he thought the only way that would effectively deal with it would be for him to write about it. Well, that was the gist of an hour's conversation.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask Bob McNamara to get in touch with you. I never heard of Scotty's little boy. Never heard of any controller's report. I don't know anything about it.
The FBI has not been doing anything of that kind, I'm confident.
Well, just find out
about
it. And,
I'll check on that.
Be very careful that you are thorough. Be sure you do know what's happening. Look at all your wiretaps again. Do they tap any without? You have to know what they're tapping.
I have to know, and I am confident, Mr. President, that the FBI does not tap a wire without informing me.
Now, in connection with Joe, I have said...
There have been, until recently when I talked with Mr. Hoover about it, and I'm going to get it firmed up in writing, the Bureau has, under authority which neither I nor my predecessor knew in the last couple or 3 months, there was authority for them occasionally to make a trespass and bug, which they have used in some organized crime matters. I've said that I wanted that to be brought to my attention, too, and I'm going to work that out with Mr. Hoover in writing, same as the wiretaps. But as far as wiretaps are concerned, there are none made. Now, I have heard that over here from people in the Bureau, again, just recently when we were reviewing this problem over here, that probably the biggest offenders on this are in the Pentagon, and that was the reason I wanted to ask Bob McNamara what controls he had over it. And I was going to suggest that I be delegated all this authority.
Well, I sure think you ought to, and I think it. I don't know what legislation you've been asking up there in that field, but I've been against it all my life. I'm a red-hot 1,000,002% civil liberties man, and I'm just against them. And I guess you've got to have them in treason or something, but I don't want to trust anybody on that field. And if I got to trust somebody in this government, I won't trust you. Now, I saw the Alsop file. I don't know how it got over here. I don't know why it got over here. I saw the Alsop file, and I saw a file on our Deputy Secretary of Defense. After I saw them, I ordered them put in a safe where nobody else could see them. And I took the most trustworthy girl I've got. It's been with me since 37 or 38. And Mac Bundy came in conversation, wanted to see him, and I told him we'd send him back. Wouldn't even let him see him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nobody has seen him, and nobody's discussed him. And I just think that he was here at my anniversary party. I don't know how he got on the list, but there were about 6 or 8 or 10 couples. And he was here with Mrs. Graham. She was here that same evening. I would guess Liz Carpenter made up a list. What it was, surprise anniversary for Lady Bird on November the 17th. And I worked till late. I got over there about 7:30, 8 o'clock. And they had all assembled on a Truman balcony. And Joe was there with his sweet wife, and he and I have been good friends ever since I've been in Washington. I've been kind of his lawyer on a lot of things, although I never had anything to leak to him or any documents or anything. And he was very friendly with me, always has been. But he had the same look in his eye and the same attitude and the same sparkle that Phil Graham had the last time I saw him. So Kay came up to me and said, I want to talk to you about Joe, and he's sick and he's not going to write his column anymore, so be careful tonight, and so on and so forth. I was, but I have told no one that except you now. I haven't seen him since, but he calls up, orders my people out of his home at 7:30 for breakfast. He calls up and tells them to meet him at a club, and he calls up and so all these kind of things.
He's in very bad. I've seen him a couple of times recently, Mr. President. He is in bad shape. There's no question about it.
But I resent this so deeply that I think that what you better do is just say Bill Moyer calls you and ask Reston to come in the morning and say to him, now, Bill Moyer was very distressed, and he doesn't even want to go into this with the president. But he has asked me to check into it very thoroughly and to know, and the president has never asked me, never made a request of any kind on any individual case, never even discussed it with me. He's never talked about wiretapping, never given me any instructions, and I'm the only one that can't approve him. That's that, I think you ought to talk to Bob McNamara about this. I'm going to, soon as I hang up. About this following his boy, and just say, now, you willing to the FBI to make a very thorough investigation of anything, any evidence they give you, anybody, including the president, do you investigate him? Just say that you have that authority. The president, when he appoints you attorney general, told you that you could investigate anybody, including the president, on anything that to you was a law violation. And I think you ought to assure Scotty that if he's got any...
Reston said, Nick, he said, if it were happening, and he underlined that, if it were happening, government by document is one of the most deplorable of all kinds of government.
Yeah.
But he left himself that out by saying, if it were happening.
Conversely, government by intimidation is terrible, too, and we're not going to be intimidated by some columnist that doesn't get what you want. Now, Mike Bundy told me, wrote me a note, that Joe was very excited one night because he said that he was getting a lot of stuff out of CIA and that McCone had closed down on it. Now, I don't know anything about that. If I were you, I'd ask McCone before you see Scotty. Now, my position with my cabinet has been this, that the cabinet is authorized to speak for their department.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody else is authorized to speak for their department except the president, who will do so only upon their recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't, I'll give me a new cabinet officer. If you and I can't work together, I'll ask for your resignation and get it in 1 minute. And until then, you're going to run that department. And that's going to be true of the Secretary of State, and that's going to be true of the Secretary of Defense. I asked them to have as many press conferences as they can, every time they got any. I want you on. I'm not jealous of my cabinet. I think I'm no stronger than my cabinet. And I think if everybody thinks that Rusk and McNamara and Katzenbach are good, able men, I think they'll think I've got a good administration. And I make that clear to you, don't I?
Yes, Mr. President. You always have, and I hope made it clear to you that I was here just as long as you wanted me.
That's right.
No longer.
So what I want you to do is to really speak with conviction about this thing and look into it. I don't care if you have to interview my own people. I never heard of it. But it seems to me when the New York Times and also up with his readership would come in to the White House and level these charges.
Yeah.
And talk about writing. I don't give a damn about his writing about him, because I'm as innocent as I am of murdering your wife.
Yeah.
I never heard of him. But I have said to my people that you see anybody that you want to see, any newspaper man wants to come to you, talk to him. If I were you, I wouldn't make it practice to go into their homes during the lunch hour, during dinner hour, during breakfast, and be in a conduit for special information to them. And I do detest that, and I have said that I think that if I were you, I'd stay away from the Metropolitan Clubs and the downtown clubs, because I just wish they'd stay in the White House during lunch. That's when I'm working like hell, and I can't find him yet. I called Moyer's today, and he's off for a couple hours chasing around over some hotel. I know the hotel food's not as good as the mess. I called Harry McPherson, needed him. He was the city club. So I just got a bunch of damn society fellas that are running around here eating off somebody else, and they'll have to pay for it in a column someday.